Herzlich willkommen zur 102. Episode des Oshun Sneaker Podcast, des ersten deutschen Sneaker- und Streetwear-Podcasts. Jetzt wollte ich schon wieder sagen in Deutschland, aber das hatte ich eingangs im Satz schon erwähnt. Machen wir einfach geradeaus weiter. Amadeus, wie geht's dir, mein Lieber?
Ja, schönen guten Tag, schönen guten Tag. Ja, mir geht's ganz hervorragend. Ich habe gerade eben vorzüglich gespeist. Dementsprechend frage ich mich, wie energiegeladen ich in diese Podcast-Episode gehen kann. Nein, ich habe ein bisschen Zeit zwischengelassen. Das ist so ähnlich, wie wenn man Leuten gesagt hat, so, iss nicht zu viel, bevor du gleich noch schwimmen gehst. Halt so eine kleine Pause dazwischen, ja, sonst funktioniert das
und
nicht.
Und spring nicht vom Beckenrand.
Und spring nicht vom Beckenrand. So ungefähr habe ich das jetzt auch gehalten. Aber ich hatte wunderbare Dumplings, ein bisschen Edamame. Es war ein sehr, sehr gutes Abendessen. Ein bisschen verfrühtes Abendessen im Vergleich, aber wie gesagt, Pause und jetzt Podcast und ich freue mich sehr auf die 102. Episode.
Absolut, ich bin ganz bei dir und diese Freude wird noch ein bisschen unterstrichen vom erst kürzlich überschrittenen kalendarischen Frühlingsanfang. Wieso erwähne ich jetzt das Wetter bzw. den Jahreszeitenwechsel? In Köln ist ungefähr die letzten anderthalb Jahre bis auf 2 bis 3 Tage vielleicht einfach nur so mieses Berlin-Wetter gewesen, wollte ich fast sagen.
In Berlin Entschuldigung.
9 von 12 Monaten ist es halt einfach diesig, regnerisch, kalt. Und dieses Wetter hatten wir jetzt fast anderthalb Jahre in Köln, wie gesagt, mit ein paar Tagen Ausnahme.
Fast anderthalb Jahre.
Und hier ist jetzt, ja, ohne Mist, der letzte Sommer war so regnerisch hier. Es war nicht schön, es war warm, ja, aber es war sehr regnerisch. Und jetzt haben wir hier seit fast schon 2 Wochen recht beständig sonniges Wetter und das schlägt natürlich auch sehr aufs Gemüt. Deshalb nicht nur schön satt zu sein, nicht nur schön hier mit dir, Amadeus, in dieser Episode zu sprechen, sondern auch einfach grundsätzlich ein bisschen schön. Das Wetter hält die Stimmung doch sehr auf und noch ein kleiner Plusaufheller. Ich werde in wenigen Tagen ein bisschen mit meiner Familie einen kleinen Roadtrip machen. Wir fahren Richtung Süden, gehen Bodensee und werden da etwas ausgedehntes, ein wirklich sehr ausgedehntes, langes Wochenende am See direkt verbringen. Und das wird ganz schön.
Oh, das klingt sehr gut. Wie seid ihr auf die Location gekommen? Warum gerade Bodensee?
Die Maßgabe war so ein bisschen dadurch, dass meine Familie ja so quer durch ganz Deutschland eigentlich verstreut ist. Ich so im Westen, meine Schwester im Südwesten, meine Eltern in Franken. Ist es so, dass wir gesagt haben, ey, wir wollen alle nicht mehr als 4-5 Stunden fahren. Insbesondere meine Eltern wollen nicht so weit fahren. Okay, 4-5 Stunden, da ist man in Deutschland schon relativ weit gekommen, aber haben dann eben geguckt, dass wir an einem schönen See landen. Das war so ein bisschen so das, was wir machen wollten. Und am Bodensee haben wir was Schönes gefunden, was uns also direkt so ein Seegrundstück mit direktem Zugang. Und das haben wir dann gebucht. Fanden wir toll.
Das klingt sehr angenehm auf jeden Fall.
Ja, das heißt, die Vorfreude ist da.
Ihr habt auch geplant, einfach nur eine entspannte Zeit zu haben oder habt ihr da jetzt irgendwelche großen Veranstaltungen vor?
Ich gehe davon aus, dass mein Dad seine Angel mitnehmen wird, weil Seegrundstück heißt halt auch einfach Angel ins Wasser halten.
Ordentlich aus Wegangeln.
Ordentlich einen Wegangeln, ne? So. Im Frühjahr sind die Fische besonders hungrig. Und keine Ahnung, so Anglerweisheiten bin ich gar nicht drin, aber ich denke, das wird passieren. Du, ich werde mir irgendwie ein Fläschchen Aperolchen mitnehmen, mich im besten Fall in die Sonne setzen, wenn sich das Wetter hier aus Köln da fortsetzt, weiß ich, was ich mache. Und es wird einfach eine entspannte Zeit mit der Familie, mal wieder ein bisschen genießen. Schön essen, schön trinken. Das ist bei mir geplant. Was gibt's bei dir? Was steht bei dir an?
Also ich freue mich schon sehr darauf, jetzt auch gerade mit den steigenden Temperaturen im April über Ostern wieder auf die Insel fahren zu können, nach Rügen oder auf Rügen nach Binz, so ist richtig, meine Güte. Ich lerne es hoffentlich irgendwann noch, sonst kriege ich von den Rüganern da einen auf die Fräse. Aber die Nachbarn sind ja glücklicherweise sehr nett und freundlich, von daher, die wissen das sicherlich zu wertschätzen, wenn ich das auch mal falsch sage und dann mich dafür entschuldige oder so. Lange Rede, kurzer Sinn. Da freue ich mich sehr drauf. Das wird hoffentlich schön. Nee, wird's mindestens, aber hoffentlich wird das Wetter gut. Und ehrlicherweise, selbst wenn nicht, schön ist es da auf jeden Fall immer. Also das ist sozusagen das, was groß im Kalender eingekreist ist aktuell.
Das heißt, wir sehen beide sehr bald sehr viel Wasser. Und mit diesen feuchtfröhlichen Aussichten kommen wir zu einer Rubrik, die hier in diesem Podcast gehegt und gepflegt wird, wie kaum etwas anderes, und zwar die Rubrik What's on my feet today, also das, was wir heute am Fuß tragen. Amadeus, was hast du dir angeschnallt?
An meinem Fuß heute der 991 von und mit SNS. Dazu gibt es allerdings auch eine sehr schöne Geschichte, die ich an dieser Stelle mal kurz rezitieren möchte. Also, es begab sich im Jahr 2005, da haben Peter und Eric von SNS die Möglichkeit bekommen, zwei 577 New Balance kreieren zu dürfen. Haben da wohl aber laut Gerüchten nur 10 Minuten Zeit für bekommen. Aber das macht bei den beiden ja nichts, sind ja zwei kreative Köpfe, also eben schnell designt und fertig war ein schwarz-weißer Colorway und ein blau-gelber Colorway. Als man dann wieder zurück in Stockholm war und die 577 ankam, war aber dieser blau-gelbe Colorway nicht wirklich blau, sondern eher so aquamarin-türkis. Das war aber nicht abgesprochen, also kurz bei New Balance angerufen und gefragt, so, was ist da los? Stellt sich heraus, man hatte damals kein Blau, also hat man einfach dieses Türkis benutzt. Da das aber, wie gesagt, nicht abgesprochen war, hat man darauf bestanden und eben aus zwei Colorways dann schlussendlich drei kreiert. Und dieser türkis-gelbe wurde dementsprechend der Secret One. Vorgespult, Jahr 2022, man hat eine Kollaborationsmöglichkeit mit New Balance auf dem 991, also adaptiert man diese gesamte wunderschöne Geschichte und fertigt ebenfalls wieder einen schwarz-weißen, einen blau-gelben und eben einen türkis-gelben Colorway an und nennt letzteren wieder The Secret One. Und genau diesen, The Secret One, habe ich heute am Fuß, denn erstens ist es ein wunderschöner Colorway und zweitens finde ich diese Geschichte großartig und bekanntermaßen kriegt man mich mit guten Geschichten. Also, 991, New Balance, SNS, heute an meinem Fuß. Simon, wie sieht's bei dir aus?
Als hätte ich gerade die 101. Episode des Ausschuhen Sneaker Podcasts gehört, in der du dich mit Kumpel A zum J zur Genius-Doku von Kanye West fantastisch ausgetauscht hast, so ein kompletter Deep Dive in alle drei Kapitel, habe ich auch meine Schuhwahl, als hätte ich es irgendwie drauf angelegt, habe ich natürlich nicht, aber gewählt. Denn es, ja, Kanye West ist ja nicht nur eine musikalische Ikone, dazu eine recht streitbare beziehungsweise eigene Person mit einem nicht ganz zu unterschätzenden, raumfüllenden Ego, sondern auch eine Stilikone, egal ob aktuell mit Gap und Adidas, früher mit Nike, dazwischen auch mal ganz kurz der Louis Vuitton Don. Es gab aber auch ganz zu Beginn den Kanye, der gesagt hat, mit MCM-Rucksack auf dem Rücken, ich möchte der best-dressed Rapper in the game sein, und hat A Bathing Ape gerockt von oben bis unten, hatte Unterstützung von all seinen Kumpels, Don C, Chad Hugo, Pharrell Williams, alle haben irgendwie nur noch A Bathing Ape gesportet, und entsprechend trage ich heute auch einen Bape-Star, aber nicht aus der wilden, lauten, bunten, passend zum Shark-Hoodie kolorierten Ausführung, sondern...
Wäre auch geil gewesen, das hätte ich mir auch sehr gerne angeschaut, Simon, wenn das mal irgendwann passieren sollte, bitte Foto.
Das war so vor 15 Jahren, wer unter drei Shark-Hoodies in Matching Colors übereinander gestapelt hat, hat nicht dazu gehört.
Legendär.
Und ich trage den Soulbox Babestar, der Schön. Im Prinzip die etwas erwachsenere italienische Herangehensweise an das Thema ist. Man hat dieses klassische Bathing Ape Camo, aber das nur dezent in den Schuh rein gelasert, in das graue Obermaterial, und beim Grau ist dann halt auch klar, okay, ja, das ist ein Schuh, den zieht sich Fadi vielleicht auch mal an. Qualitativ eben wunderbar hergestellt, aber doch sehr viel dezenter als die ganzen sehr viel bunteren Brüder und Schwestern, die so ein Babestar da so zählt. Deshalb, on my feet today, der Soulbox Babestar, übrigens auch mein LPU, falls diese Frage aufkommen sollte.
Wäre tatsächlich meine Frage gewesen, aber dann könnte ich ja einfach damit weitermachen, Shoutout an Aljoscha Kondratiev und das gesamte Soulbox-Team zu geben für diesen wirklich sehr, sehr schönen Schuh. Made in Italy auch noch, und so wie ich Aljoscha verstanden habe, hat er sich auch irgendwie so ein bisschen Traum damit erfüllt, zum einen mit A Bathing Ape zusammenzuarbeiten, als eben auch so diese Transformation von A Bathing Ape und Asia Culture hin zu Fertigung in Italien und dann als Release bei Soulbox. Correct me if I'm wrong, Simon?
Nee, absolut. Ich habe mit Aljoscha auch einige Wochen und Monate vor Release zusammengesessen und habe mir auch Samples von dem Schuh angeguckt, und wir haben so ein bisschen drüber gesprochen.
Oh, sag mal, die Samples, gingen die so in eine ganz andere Richtung eigentlich? Würde mich mal interessieren. Oder nee, war es dann doch schon sehr nah dran alles?
Ja, es war okay. Sehr nah dran. Es waren so marginale Nuancen, die sich da dann unterschieden haben. Wenn man aber genau hinguckt und sich auf Details fokussiert, dann merkt man eben schon diese Unterschiede und kann eben schon sagen, ah, okay, dieses Element Event doch lieber in der Farbe oder das doch nicht, keine Ahnung, was da für Fabrikationsweisen möglich sind, nicht gestanzt, sondern gelasert. So, also da gibt es dann halt diese Unterschiede zu begutachten. Und in dem Gespräch hat man schon sehr gemerkt, dass das so ein Herzensprojekt auch ist. Ich meine, Soulbox ist ja einer der wenigen exklusiven Retailer für A Bathing Ape weltweit. Da gibt's ja nicht so viele Destinationen. Und dann ist es natürlich schön, wenn man dann auch einen Bapestar machen darf und den dann eben auch so passend gestalten kann.
Definitiv. Finde ich auch ein sehr, sehr gelungener, sehr, sehr schöner Schuh. Und ich bin sehr gespannt, was A Bathing Ape 22 noch auf die Beine stellt. Also was Soulbox auf die Beine stellt auch, natürlich, klar, gar keine Frage. Aber ich glaube, A Bathing Ape hat da auf jeden Fall sehr, sehr viel noch vor, was auch so Collabs anbelangt. Und da bin ich sehr gespannt. Apropos 2022. Wer diesen Podcast jetzt schon ein bisschen länger verfolgt, wird diesen Namen sicherlich schon häufiger gehört, gelesen und dann auch gesehen haben, spätestens im Titel und dann auf jeden Fall auch gehört haben, denn er redet glücklicherweise sehr viel und auch sehr Schönes. Und die Rede ist hier in diesem Falle von Derek Morrison, seines Zeichens General Manager EMEA von StockX. Und mit Derek verbindet uns nun schon eine lange Freundschaft, eine lange Partnerschaft und auch in diesem Advertorial und in freundlicher Zusammenarbeit mit StockX wollen wir erfragen, was sich im Laufe der letzten 12 Monate bei StockX getan hat, was der Blick auf das laufende Jahr 2022 so gibt und auch wie die Pläne sind, die man in diesem Jahr, ja, ich denke mal, sehr positiv voranbringen möchte, als eben auch die ganz wichtigen Themen, die wir hier haben, nicht nur die Eröffnung des Authentication Centers in Berlin, die ansteht, sondern auch das große und Sneaker-Szene bestimmende Thema NFT. Und wir freuen uns sehr, dass wir mit Derek diesen wunderbaren Gesprächspartner auch in Episode 102 wieder haben werden. Dementsprechend, Derek, welcome to the show.
Hey, I'm great, guys. Good to see you guys. Excited to be back, man. I'm great.
Good to have you back, Derek.
Good to have you back. And the first month of 2022 are already in the books. Which sneaker releases caught your attention the most in the first quarter of the year?
Yeah, oh, that's a good question. I guess I'm excited mostly for what's going to come for the rest of the quarter, to be like for the rest of the year. I feel like there's a new energy this month in March that feels like it's really starting to kick off. And I don't know what it was like for you guys, but I found it really not fatigued, but I think there's so many supply chain release delays in last year, and are the releases coming, not knowing what's happening. I was a bit tired, but you know, the ones that stood out to me, you know, the last Virgil Air Force Ones, I think are, you know, gonna have a special significance in the kind of in punctuating his tragic passing post his passing. So that those definitely will stand out to me. I think I won't be able to look at those shoes without thinking about, obviously, the weight of the last few months and his loss. But then in terms of more kind of, I guess, positively inspiring, kind of back to normal, I've been saying for a long time, obviously, New Balance, what's been happening with New Balance. I've been, you know, I'm on record for 2 years, maybe even on this podcast, talking about the smart moves that they've been making. And I think they continue to just be strong. You know, the Zhao New Balance 993s, definitely stand out to me. I think that they've made such smart decisions as a brand in terms of who they work with. And I always talked about them as like chasing resonance and trying to create meaningful product that is obviously great New Balance production quality more than they were chasing hype, right? And I think talking about the resale premiums that you see historically back to the Joe Freshgoods ones that they did a couple years ago, those resale premiums, that demand was coming at the consequence of the resonance they created, not because they were chasing it. And that's a big distinction between, I think, hype culture as it was at its most saturated. And then, you know, being a Canadian, being a Drake fan, the Nosa Hot Step Air Terras, I think are actually pretty hard. I was a bit like meh on them at first, but once they came out, you know, I was like, I think it's my favorite Drake shoe that he's done so far. So those are the ones that stand out to me.
White or black?
White, but I love white shoes, but then they're instantly scuffed. And every time I buy a pair of white sneakers, I'm just like, I can't wear these. They're destroyed after the first wear, and then I just stare at them sad and shameful for the rest of my life. But you cannot beat that clean white look. In my opinion.
Oh, absolutely. I'm on the same page as you are when it comes to all those supply chain hiccups over the past 1.5, 2 years. So it's always been like stretching the joy you have with, hey, oh, there's the release date, a bit too much, a bit too far. And then it's like, oh no, it's postponed, maybe next year, maybe in 2 years. I'm on the same page with you when it comes to New Balance, what they did in the past years and how they started this year already very, very good. I've recently seen this image what Teddy Santis is planning with New Balance for the rest of the year. So this is like nuts. I'm already loving what they are doing for the rest of the year. So this is what, so like the Nocta release with Drake is one for me. I don't like the black one too much. I'm more for the white one, and I'm just curious on what New Balance is dropping for the rest of the year. So this was just like the hors d'oeuvre, and the next three quarters are my quarters.
Yeah, honestly, I genuinely think that everything that New Balance is doing is the right way, and they've been doing it for a couple of years, and I'm just such a huge, forget what I do at StockX, but as a fan of sneaker culture, I just think that what they're doing is the antidote to all of the things we're worried about in hype culture.
That's exactly it. Most of the brands, when it comes to footwear, try to copy what Nike is doing and achieving over the years. And what New Balance is doing is not copying or trying to copy what Nike did in the year before. They are going their own way in their own pace and with their own, in their own manner. They are not the copycats, and this is what makes them way stronger than maybe all of the competitors when it comes to footwear.
I think it's a great point, although I think there's also, we've talked maybe a bit about this before, and we talked about hip hop, right? In terms of how sneaker culture is hopefully going to follow hip hop and becoming this kind of fragmented, really diverse universe where it wasn't just about runners versus high tops versus basketball shoes. It was going to become about a much broader, diverse subculture, right? So, like, and I think having different brands not competing in the same way, like, oh, Adidas did this collab and Nike did this collab and this kind of same formula you're talking about, having them do different things, and then you have New Balance doing a very different approach. Then you have, I think I still am a big Yeezy fan. I still wear, you know, for other shoes from this quarter, you know, the Foam Runners that are just dropping, the 700 re-release of the Statics, the re-release of the Blush. I'm wearing cream 700 V2s right now. All of a sudden, it's starting to be like what we talked about, you know, however long ago, right? It's not just dunks and like recycled retro Jordan silhouettes, which are still iconic and still have demand, and I still wear them. But it's starting to have a lot more colors to paint with on the palette, and I think that's good. I think so. Hopefully, it's not about Nike versus New Balance, but for me, hopefully, the values and the kind of narratives that each of these brands starts to tap into and generate is going to ultimately be what makes sneaker culture healthy over time. And right now for me, I just, everything New Balance. And I've talked to you guys about my love for Diadora, right? N9000s. And I used to collect, and I still collect all of the different Michael, all gone mm-hmm. shoes. And so I have those and the New Balance Paperboy, all gone. Yeah. That's a hot shoe. So that's got to be in the top four for the quarter. But sorry, I can talk about, maybe that's a good sign. We thought sneakers are a bit soft right now, but we're talking about lots of shoes from right now. So that's a good sign.
Fully agree. And the more we talk over the years, the more we learn it's not all about sneakers in your life. So the question we have to ask is, first things first, is the Vince Carter rookie trading card finally yours? And because the last time we talked, you said that your bids haven't been accepted yet. And besides the trading card thing, what other collectibles are on your radar right now?
So I don't have the Vince Carter rookie card. I still haven't got it. But to be honest, I have bought. To be honest, it's on me now. I can't even tell. Maybe I'm a bit too distracted, but I have since gotten another pair of N1 Tai Chis that Vince Carter wore in the 2000 Dunk Contest when it was absolutely legendary. I have also got my official Vince Carter throwback that I wear to perform very bad basketball attempt. And on occasion, when I'm alternating between that, my Kyle Lowry Raptors jersey, obviously I have to represent the Raptors. I do have plenty of other trading cards that I've got. Lots of NFL cards, a few basketball cards, and going to be watching through for some of the cool stuff that Fanatics is doing on the trading card space, because there's going to be some really exciting stuff coming. And then on the other collectible side, I think last time we had talked, we were just starting to talk about Lego in the early days, right? And early days on StockX. And I mean, I'm such a big, Lego's been such a big part of my life. And as a father, I play Lego with my daughter. And I think now Lego's really just doing some exciting, incredible stuff. And I don't know if you've seen the, I'm also becoming a huge F1 fan recently. And they just released a McLaren F1 Lego set. And it is incredible. So for me, I'm ready for Draft to Survive next season to come. I'm ready for the F1 season, and I'm ready to assemble my McLaren car and put my little Lando Norris in there. I love that the culture is, I think some of the most exciting stuff in the kind of broader cultural landscape is outside of sneakers now. Now, as much as I love all of the stuff that's happening at New Balance, I think they're really at an upstream. I kind of feel like 2 years ago, everything was trickling out of sneakers, right? Like the culture, the conversation, everything started with what was happening on sneakers and at the sneaker brands. And now I think it's upstream. I think that the culture is flowing down into sneakers more from apparel, from designers, from artists, and through these other mediums that are really exciting places where people are like telling cool stories. And I think, what would be better if I want to really embrace Formula One and the way that it's converging with culture, do I want to have a McLaren pair of Air Force Ones, or would I rather have like a Lego McLaren? Like that's way more interesting. And I think it's the same with what some of the artists are doing. And obviously Daniel Arsham is such a great connector and commentator on culture and how he interprets it. I just think that these other mediums are really allowing the conversation to expand in really exciting ways. Obviously I'm still passionate about sneakers and it's still an important part of the culture, but I think it's exciting that it's now not the only thing that we kind of consider in the context of just Nike shoes and Supreme or Adidas and Palace. It's more what else is happening in the broader culture. And again, like I talk about this all the time because our brand, our platform is dependent on culture to be really healthy and vibrant, right? For people to buy into it and connect with it. And the more ways that that can be, exciting is the more ways that people can get excited to have demand for it. And so our role as a marketplace is to find ways to perpetuate that culture. And I think we do that by expanding the conversation and expanding the way we work with creators and designers and independent artists and independent designers, frankly, as the way to help kind of keep that conversation going. But as you can tell, I'm pretty excited about what's going on with all of these categories right now.
Before the interview started, you said that that the community out there is, after this pandemic, a bit more purpose-driven, but not only the community is shifting to a bit more purpose-driven community, so there should be something behind it, something meaningful. The environment is important. Other things are more important than just product. But what I really like and what I hear out of your last answer is that the industry is already shifting into that direction, not only leveraging something on a good pair of sneakers, but leveraging it on the right canvas. So find the right product for the right story to tell so that it is interesting, appealing, and it's also best case relevant.
It's exactly that. You put it better than me, man. I think, people want to connect with stories, narratives, and meaning, right? I mean, sneaker culture wasn't born out of hype. Hype came because the culture was so resonant, and then people tried to perpetuate hype instead of perpetuating the culture. And I think what we see now, and I think a lot of the last 2 years of people being deprived of culture and deprived of so many experiences, deprived of so many things, people are starved from stuff that makes them feel good. And a lot of things are, make them feel good aren't just things, they're things that mean something to them. We talk about that with nostalgia, with everything else. And so I think, when we talk about mediums and canvases, it's like, well, if I'm a consumer and I want to buy into something that makes me feel good, It's less about what's the medium and what's the meaningful story I'm buying into, or what's the point of view. And then on the other side, the artist, the designer, the creator side, they have something to say. What's the best way to say it? And is it the best way to say it is through a sneaker collab, or is it through a collectible toy, or is it through a Lego set, or is it through an art print, or is it through a record and music, and is it a vinyl, right? And I think that, or apparel, and so much more, or is it how you style all of those things together, right? Because they're not just independent elements, they're a part of your life in the same way. I sit in my house, and I listen to records, and I've got my art on the wall, and I'm wearing my clothes that I'm wearing that make me feel good, and I'm watching, whatever is... Well, probably Ted Lasso makes me feel good. So, it's all of these different things live in harmony together. And I think it's really exciting. I mean, our role as a marketplace is connecting the people creating culture with the people consuming it, right? And I think when I talk to people, I'm looking for, who's got something to say. We've got people that want to buy into something to say. And, we did a lot of stuff in our pop-ups now as well. I'm sure we'll talk about with some independent fashion brands. And for me, I want to hear what Danny Williams behind Beautiful Struggles, a retired football player, German football player, who started a fashion brand. And his brand is called Beautiful Struggles, about his personal story overcoming injury and his struggle to make it as a professional athlete and then to decide to retire, because of some of the injuries and stuff, and then start and pursue his passion, which is fashion. And I mean, that's just such a different, cool story that you don't hear every day especially when you're looking, oh, what's the new Supreme box logo? Like, who cares? I don't want to hear what this, the Carlyle Group company that they bought had to say about a new box logo print. As much as I want the Burberry stuff this week, I want to hear from that guy who I relate to, whose humble adversity that he overcome, I relate to that. And that, for me, is going to do more for fashion than whatever Kim Jones does next 5 years from now. And not just him, but thousands of other people like him who are trying to create fashion brands. Thousands of other artists who are trying to tell their story through paintings. Thousands of other musicians who are trying to sing song, right? I mean, that's where the culture comes from. Like, that's the stuff I want us to be talking about. And I think when I go out and I meet people who've been out of pandemic, yeah, great. We all want the next Nike limited edition shoe. But it doesn't mean that that's the only thing that we want. That's not where I get all of my meaning. And I think brands, I think people, whether it's sustainability or just like the purpose of their story, it's really, really more important now than ever. Like, look at a brand like Pangaea. Pangaea is a perfect example of like a brand that's built out of a brand by accident. They really are just on a mission for sustainability to transform the fashion industry. And like, those are the things that I think are more important now than they were 2 years ago, because also people expect that. Not even that they want it, they expect that.
I was just thinking about who would be perfect collaboration partners for the perfect struggle. I'm thinking about D. Rose, I'm thinking about Grant Hill, I'm thinking about Todd Gurley, all those other sportsmen, those athletes who kind of had their own beautiful struggles and couldn't maybe bring their full potential to the hardwood, for example, because they were injured as well. They had their struggles as well. That would be like a no-brainer.
One of his biggest inspirations is Allen Iverson, right? I think it was the first t-shirt he ever did was inspired by Allen Iverson. Like, and what Allen Iverson did to transform the fashion identity and how basketball players could be conceived and perceived. I mean, he's an incredible basketball player, but what he did in terms of identity and like expression through what you wear for professional basketball, I mean, every walk that you see somebody going into an NBA game now, you owe it to Allen Iverson. And like, so I think those are such great examples, man. I think you nailed it.
You're something like a special guest for us. Of course, every guest is special to us, but you are somebody we're talking to every year. We enjoy it every year, almost exactly around the same time. Last year, StockX turned 5 when we talked, and you were on a pretty good run. You were rated, I guess, was it 5 billion? You were rated with 5 billion. That was nuts. And what has happened until then? So how have the past, almost 12 months been for you?
Sure. Well, I mean, we turned 5 years old last year. We're just past our 6-year anniversary. I don't think that's a valuation that's been bestowed upon us yet, but hopefully someday we live up to that and beyond. The last year has been crazy, right? I mean, who knew what was going to happen? I mean, we're still kind of still in a period of uncertainty for lots of different reasons. But for us, it's been a pretty big year. I mean, we opened authentication centers in Australia and South Korea, so our physical footprint grew quite a bit. We expanded, I mean, I've referenced art prints quite a bit on this call, and we launched that as a new category on StockX and with a big partnership with Daniel Arsham that's really creating a scholarship fund as well in the art community to make sure that we're enhancing that culture. Again, everything I'm going to say is going to come back to this like broken record of like, what are we doing to perpetuate culture? But I mean, that's a lot of the ethos here. And we did lots of different product releases and drop X's, some notable ones with Lewis Hamilton, obviously his brand with Pangaea that he first released, and then Places Plus Faces and the Design Museum, which I'll speak on in a second, Sneakers Unbox Exhibition, Slam Jam, we did an exclusive release with them, which is, you know, really exciting. And I referenced Beautiful Struggles, we did a pop-up with them and as a kind of first example of an in real life where you could shop in our retail experience and buy clothing on site, on the app, and walk out of the store with it from an independent brand. We did that in our London retail as well as some exclusive product online. So we've really kind of transformed in lots of ways how we're finding new ways to connect with people, getting into new markets, new product categories. The Design Museum Sneakers Unbox exhibition we partnered with for the Design Museum in London, which is an incredible chronicling of sneaker culture, sneaker history from a design perspective, from a cultural perspective, with some future-looking perspectives. And that's actually going on tour this year globally. We're partnered with them for the global tour, and the first stop is going to be at the Den Bosch Design Museum in the Netherlands. So we're really excited about that. I don't know if I'm supposed to talk about that, but it's coming soon. Watch this space. You guys will be among the first to know everything that's happening there.
Sounds great. It's a great museum. I've been there a few years ago. Such an awesome place.
Let us talk about Berlin. Berlin is the new place to be for StockX, and it's something we already spoke about in our last interview, will now be the status quo. You guys are opening an office and an authentication center in Berlin. And besides the authentication center in the Netherlands, why did you choose another location and why did you choose Berlin?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's lots of different logistical reasons why we want to, from a supply chain perspective, that is important for us to kind of expand our footprint, be more sustainably placed and positioned, be closer to the markets that are important for us. But, you know, Berlin has always been somewhere we wanted to be present in some serious way, because it's just such an important city to us, the global culture. I just think it's, I was at Paris Fashion Week in January, and the most excited to talk to were from Berlin. some of the stuff that I think is happening, I just think Berlin's having a great moment. I think that it's always, you know, been so uniquely powerful for ways that you guys would probably understand better than me, but I just think that it's such an exciting cultural focal point and has such a unique impact on the world that it's somewhere we want to be present in and be a part of and then hopefully help celebrate and nurture and contribute to in a positive way. But then, you know, just being there physically is also a great way to get closer to the key market, to improve our experience that we provide in the market, to keep more trades that happen in Germany, for Germany, within Germany, and not having to leave to reduce some of that footprint as well. So there's the kind of cultural and then logistical side of all the reasons that it's great, but it's we're super excited.
So what exactly will be the positive sides for the StockX customer to have this authentication center in Berlin and having the kind of like having the office next to their doors?
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest ways it's going to impact things, first of all, is like reduced shipping times, mm-hmm. Reduced fees, because we're going to be able to make things less expensive, because we'll be matching some supply with local demand. It's like that's a faster all around transaction, and it also just increases the kind of speed and access to the local supply. We're also working a lot more with different brands, and because as our marketplace expands, it's not always just a two-way shipment, right? Maybe we're working with brands or kind of people directly to help provide some express fulfillment. So maybe at some point we'll be holding inventory in Berlin that if you ship it, or you order on StockX in Germany, some of that stuff can be shipped same day.
Okay.
And even faster and faster times, right? So we're really expanding and evolving the way we operate, and we want to always get to as fast a fulfillment, but it really just faster, more efficient, And then hopefully that reduces some costs and helps us be able to pass that back to the customers.
Like you already said, you guys doing the pop-up shops and pop-up stores and the event and art kind of stuff and so on and so on. Are there already plans for having stuff for the Berlin community as well, for the German community, of course, as well too?
Definitely. I mean, we're lots of stuff still in the works. I mean,
tell us your secrets.
But you will see us on the ground, right? I mean, this is I don't know if I can say how big it is. This is going to be our biggest facility in Europe. So, I mean, this isn't some, oh, we want to have a footprint in Germany. Like, this is a critical market for us, something, a market we're really passionate for, and we want to really deliver a great experience for, and we want to, you know, really, you know, be a meaningful part of that community. And as much as the conversation like this helps shine a light on that commitment, being present in the market and using this as the opportunity to celebrate that we aren't just active in the market, we are in the market. We want to really use this as the opportunity to show people that we're not just here sometimes, like we are here. And we want to be able to champion what's happening there. So you'll see, I mean, I think you'll see us on the ground, you'll see us doing cool stuff, and you'll see us creating some pretty exciting physical touch points to connect directly with people within the market that are going to be, you know, obviously exciting because we're present there, but also exciting coming out of a very challenging 2 years where such activities weren't so enabled. So provided that we're able to continue on the path where those types of activations and opportunities will be feasible, you know, I can't wait to be back there. And for me, I get to go. That means I'll be in Berlin and in Germany a lot more.
It's good to hear. Just give us a call. We come around and then let's see what's going down in the new authentication center and with everything you guys planning. But how does the idea of being more local right now match to the idea of being global? Because in the beginning, when StockX started, it was easier for, let's say, European customers to get access to Asia exclusives and vice versa. How does the both idea match together?
I think it's both ways. I think we obviously there's just the global nature of our marketplace that's always going to allow people to find those other products to bring into the market. And I think as we go kind of deeper on that idea and kind of what I was saying about how we work with brands, how we work with designers, how we work with people with something to say, we now have an opportunity to leverage that global network, that global marketplace, and that our global community and family to add new value to what's happening in Germany, right? We will always want to champion the great, exciting things that are happening locally. But I'm from Canada, right? There's many Canadians in Berlin, to be fair. But somebody in, let's say, somewhere that's not as not from as many different countries. Let's say, you know, somebody in another part of Germany. Anybody in Germany doesn't need a Canadian to tell them about a cool German brand that they should be buying, right? I don't, as much as, you know, I want to make sure that we're championing those brands and, you know, we're not the ones introducing them all the time. And it would be kind of quite arrogant for us to assume that we are going to come in and champion and be the best at celebrating German fashion for the German community. We want to make sure we are a part of that and helping, but, you know, I think it would be quite an ignorant thing to assume that, you know, these great, successful, cool, sold-out German streetwear brands, like, we're going to help them be discovered in Germany. But what I think we can do uniquely, as much as we can be a part of celebrating the right stuff domestically, we probably have a great voice on introducing really exciting emerging streetwear brands from Japan or from Hong Kong or from Toronto or from California, and we can bring those in the same way that people are accessing those releases that they want to get from Japan. How can we bring the resonant culture and emerging product from other markets and introduce that to our market? And that is, I think, the really exciting global opportunity that we have as a brand to help facilitate, right? And this kind of leveraging our global network to our value, and the unique thing we bring to our presence in Germany is that, yes, we can champion and we will champion what's happening there, but we can also, We are probably closer to some of the global things that are happening in other markets that we can help bring closer to the German market that will be relevant to them. So I think it's, instead of an arbitrage, I think we want it to be, I'll just stop saying it, be more at like, what are we doing to like bring the cultural conversation forward?
Right now, everybody's like totally hyped by this metaverse crypto thingy. How about you? Did you move your interest from for example, retro basketball trading cards to NFT and other digital goods?
You know, I don't have any top shots, but I love the space. I think that it's such an incredible arena. Yeah, I do have some NFTs, but I'm still kicking myself like probably everybody else that they don't have any Mutant Apes or any Bored Apes or any CryptoPunks from
not
a year
yet.
Ago.
Not yet.
I'd have a newer phone, and I'd probably have a few more. I'd have a few more wheels on my car. But I think what's really exciting is how it's again a new medium, right? I mean, I think the best of what that's going to unlock and enable is really just getting started. So I believe in it very strongly. Obviously, we're starting to get involved in the space, but I think just overall, whenever a new medium is unlocked, I always think of I don't know if you guys play chess, but there's like this kind of saying when you play chess, when somebody moves a piece on the board, you're supposed to do is like evaluate like what's changed in the position, right? And then you analyze like what does that enable now for you to do? What's different now than could be done before? And so I think with NFTs and things like this, these kinds of innovations, it's like moving a piece of chess piece on the chessboard. Because now you look at, okay, well, now that this has changed, what can I do now that I couldn't do before? And so if I'm an artist, what can I do now with this technology to create living art that is different than what I could sell in a painting or I could sell somewhere else? And I think that's what's really going to be exciting is how this new medium continues to unlock stuff. And I believe in it, and I think the best is yet to come. I think it's I think of NFTs as a new medium, a new technology, and what it will enable and unlock is just we're in the day zero.
But would you say like NFTs, for example, could be what Napster was for the music industry, like a first step into a new music culture, with everything that comes with it, but just. Without Napster, I guess there wouldn't be Spotify.
Yeah, I think that's a really great way to put it, right? I think, I agree with you. I think it is in some ways it's like that, but I think it's also, it can also be more things at the same time. Like how is it, it's that, but could it also be, what is it going to unlock for now, what is it going to unlock for streaming music? What is it going to unlock for the real music experience in real life? What is it going to unlock in terms of music investments? You know, I think so. It almost kind of has like an exponential path for each of those things that it disrupts, and that's what's really compelling to me because we're looking at from our roadmap, looking at a range of kind of innovation investments. How does this unlock ability to invest in culture in a different way? How does it allow physical products to transform in the way they connect with people? And then the convergence and the overlap of the physical and the digital that exists simultaneously. So I don't know if to use the Spotify reference, is this Napster that's going to create Spotify that allows you to invest, experience, and own and listen to something all at the same time? I mean, I think so. I think that's why it's so crazy exciting to me because it's... there's like exponential possibilities that are, it's like quantum computing. Not that I know anything about quantum computing, but it's like quantum computing for culture. There's a soundbite that probably makes no sense.
Thanks for the headline for this podcast episode.
Yeah. They'll be like, who is this guy?
Last year after leaving Adidas, our good friend Till Jagler launched Flowers for Society, a footwear brand combined with an NFT ecosystem. So with a pair of sneakers you buy at Flowers for Society, you receive a special key or token that allows you further access to product. How do you like his idea?
I won't swear, but I really love it. I mean, I'm a huge Till fan.
You can do whatever you want in this podcast. Can I?
I don't know what I'm allowed to as a StockX representative.
It did something different.
I'm a huge Till fan. I mean, that guy is amazing. He's a visionary, and I think Flowers for Society is incredible. That's one of the NFTs that I have in my wallet is Flowers for Society NFT. Look, I think he is so uniquely positioned in such a powerful way to connect both of those worlds, right? I mean, he understands the culture so deeply. He understands the from end to end product creation in the physical world. And I think the way he's thinking about it in a truly physical, digital, harmonious way is so exciting, and actually, frankly, I think is quite visionary in terms of the way he's going to do it. So I'm, and the way he is doing it, frankly. So I, yeah, I'm a huge believer. I'm a huge truther, and I think everything that he, the way he's approaching it, you know, I got a lot of respect and a lot of love for that guy and the way he's approaching this project, and I'm excited to continue to watch it thrive.
A bit similar is the StockX approach to leveraging NFT to your community. It's called The Vault. It allows customers to buy and sell like-for-like digital sneakers that serve to certify ownership of the physical item and can be exchanged for the physical twin at any time. So there's not this combination thing with like the Jordan 1 Bread NFT and the, I don't know, Yeezy Boost 350 V2, whatever colorway combination. You can get your, you name it, kind of shoe at StockX. So it's not this combination thing you're doing, but it's similar. You get a token and it represents a piece of footwear, and it takes certain pressure from product, because, you know, if I want the product, I can have it, or without having the risk of fraud and getting a fake shoe, I can exchange it to another person, knowing that this is like a StockX NFT. It's authentic, and I know that I can get a real pair of sneakers for it.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, here's a couple of things of context, right? We know, I mean, talk to any sneaker collector. They know that their sneakers are worth something. And a lot of times they just buy them, ship them to their house and put them in a closet and they never look at them. And we know that a lot of them, people buy them as assets and they buy them, they invest in sneakers, their sneaker. And I remember saying to my father when I was young, he's saying, why are you buying all these sneakers? I said, Dad, these are assets. These are worth something. I have to get them insured, right? Like, this isn't just like something that takes up a lot of space. So we know people want to buy them as investments. We know that they don't necessarily aren't going to wear them all the time. And so if they're collecting and they and they don't want to have, then why are we wasting a carbon footprint of a shipment to send it to them? Like, why not just keep it there, wait for it to appreciate, and then when you want to wear them, bring them to your house, or when you think it's gotten to the point where you think it's achieved the value that you want to sell it for, then you can sell it. So this is really such an impactful way to, one, be, you know, take a number, any time somebody buys one of these and leaves the sneaker in the vault, that's one less shipment that's happened for that sneaker that maybe was never going to get worn anyway. And the NFT allows you to have something to look at and celebrate in your collection. But it's not, it's the shoe that it's connected to. It's the, you're buying an NFT from a shoe. So it's I think that's a really important part of it. And well, we know that that's what the behavior on, we know that that's the thing. And for people who are buying it, looking to flip it later, there's also a cost that you reduce, right? If you have to ship that shoe and then you have to ship it back, then that's expensive as well. So it can allow us to get closer to a more efficient trading as well. And if it's sitting in a vault, we don't have to have two shipments. A bunch of people handle it each way that it's going through another duplicated authentication process that allows us to be able to change the way that we the cost that we incur as a business every time that thing's traded, which is something that's important. So there's this, like, it's just a much more efficient way to satisfy demand that's already there, that there has friction. And we always kind of had this idea, even before NFTs was a thing, of how can we enable this? And this is really just a technology that allows us to, I think, provide something that people already wanted from us, just in a more, you know, technical way.
Hey, and with a platform that sees its similarity in the stock exchange market, having just selling shares, I don't know how many shares you have, but you don't wait for the postman to bring over some paper where it says, hey, here's your share of Apple or Tesla or whatever.
Exactly.
You have it digitally. And so this is like, smart move.
Yeah, exactly that, right? And if the, imagine you bought a pair and it's you bought a share from Apple and it's shipping to you. And while it's 2 weeks in the post waiting for it to get to your house, Apple share value drops 100%, or, you know, doubles in value, and you want to cash in on it. You're like, I gotta wait. And you're sitting at the post box waiting for that. I mean, come on, that's crazy, right? So I think it's exactly that. There's less cost, less friction, and then allows you to be able to capitalize on a shorter turnaround of the price. You don't, one, because you're incurring less cost because you're not paying to ship it to you, you will be able to profit off of a short-term, smaller profit gain, right? Because you say, oh, it gained 10%. You know, people who are selling stocks every day, they're trading on small movements in the prices. They're not waiting for big swings like you kind of have to with sneakers. And so that's kind of an interesting thing that'll be curious to watch as it goes.
So to see the share in your business, is this like something super important for you? This vault offering like a warehouse for sneakers and NFT that gives you access to your piece of footwear or the opportunity to have a transaction and hand it over to someone else for the right amount of money. Is this like a huge thing for you, or is this something, yeah, on the side, let's do it, and this is not our main focus?
Well, I think we believe, based on everything we know about our customer and what people have told us they want, that this is something that's really important to them. And so we'll see. You know, I think we'll see the impact that it has, but I think we believe that this is going to be a really meaningful part of the business. And I think we really believe that this is a meaningful thing that customers have already told us that they want. And ultimately, it's just another choice, right? When you go to buy that shoe at checkout, ultimately, you should have more options. Said, I want to ship it to this house today. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're saying, hey, maybe I'm moving. Maybe you say, I want to leave this in the vault for 6 weeks so I don't have to move it with my other shoe. And maybe maybe you just leave it there. So I think it's ultimately in this pursuit of what are we doing to serve the customer? How are we giving them the best experience? And I think giving them more options on everything is an important part of that. And I think ultimately, you know, like everything else that we do, we don't tell people what to do. We don't tell people what to buy. The people tell us what they want to buy and what kind of things they want to do. I don't think before StockX launched, if you said to any of your sneakerhead friends, hey, do you think that there should be a stock market for sneakers? Most of them would have said, you are crazy. And then it happened and we saw the impact that it had on all kinds of different parts of the community and broader sneaker culture and the way, and especially the way people buy and sell them, right? And so I'm quite bullish based on what I think it can change and how I think it can provide a similar type of, not disruption, but like enhancement to the overall options. And but ultimately, it's going to be how people respond and react to it that's going to really dictate, is this the biggest thing that we've ever done, or is it just a small thing that we did that hopefully helps a few people save a pair of shoes from a moving truck?
So one last question from my side, as we now heard what's the really important part for you, and it's the community and what the customer wants. This is something that you try to offer as the best possible experience. So what's next for you? So where are your plans for 2022 and maybe beyond? So where is it leading you?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good, continuing this way. I get up and I get excited to come to work at StockX. And hopefully you hear that in this passion for what we can do to kind of move culture. I worked in finance and I worked in politics, and that was boring, man. I didn't feel like I was changing the world at all. And then as everything we do at StockX, it's like, well, what else can we change? What else can we shake up? And I think, you know, I talked a lot about fashion. I talked a lot about these other non-sneaker categories. And I think that these industries are really struggle with gatekeepers that held a lot of other industries back that were disrupted, right? I mean, Netflix disrupted Blockbuster, and you know, all these different types of businesses that got were run off of that. So I think when I look at what's happening in fashion, I think there's a huge opportunity to really champion the emerging designer, and I think that's going to be a big part of the narratives that we talk about, the way that we work with music and our passion points for our customer, and gaming in the digital space. You're going to see a lot more coming in this, the digital, physical, and then the convergence of both of those things. We obviously are continuing to expand the markets that we are placing and make sure that we're getting better for those. You know, if you're using the marketplace in German, there's still a lot of English on there. There's a lot of things that aren't yet perfect. So we need to just get better at everything that we're doing already. We want to do better. We've invested a lot in our customer service, which I think continues to get better and better, but we still have opportunity to improve. We've gotten better and better in our authentication process and the efficiency of them. And, you know, I hope you all see a fewer horror stories or painful experiences, because we really listen to all the feedback that we get. So I think it's really around these ideas of culture. Where are we getting upstream that we're going to continue to like lead it so that people want to buy into the things that are on StockX because they believe in what they're adding to their lives? We want to make sure that the experience they have on our platform for just how they go about buying it continues to get better and more meaningful to them in the language that they speak. And then if things go wrong, we get better at fixing it. you know, and I think it's really kind of fundamentally, we want to make sure we get the right stuff on the platform. We want to make sure that people care about it and they have a good experience to discover it and buy it. And that they, you know, if ever anything goes wrong, which how we want to make happen fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer times. And I think we've made so much progress in that, that it's almost everybody that has a shopping experience in StockX has a perfect shopping experience. But we want to make sure that we're accountable and get better at doing it, doing things that they want that we don't give them yet. And the people still say, oh, sometimes it takes too long. So what are we doing to get? And we've made huge strides in getting stuff to people faster. And so I think it's really that. Those are probably the three buckets. I've kind of repeated myself. So,
but hey, it's a pleasure to see you evolving, progressing, and growing over the years. So we are talking now for the third time. We all know StockX for now over 6 years, and we see how it developed from a stock market for sneakers to like a heaven for collectors. And it's more than just sneakers, and it's really a pleasure to see that a company in this size growing so fast still keeps its basic creative energy of delivering for the community and for the culture of collectors, to people who are absolutely into collecting things, and also being able to just deliver a white on white Air Force One to someone who just needs a new white on white Air Force One. And this is what I really enjoy seeing, and I'm looking forward to the next episodes. Maybe in 2027 we look back to 2022 and say, hey, that was super funny when I thought that NFTs is like a small thing and we do this, that, and now it's like, boom, it's our bit. So it will be a pleasure to have all those conversations with you in the future. So thank you very much for now, Derek. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Thank you, Derek.
Thanks, you guys. I mean, look, I think ultimately we're just trying to be a conduit for you guys to connect with the stuff that you guys believe in, right? I mean, and I think the role that you guys play with your podcast is so critical to just have conversations, to ask questions about stuff that are important. And I that's why I always love talking to you guys, is that you're just really thoughtful. You get it. You're both curious about culture and where it can go. You have strong points of view on what's important for that to be resonant. And I think you challenge things that don't feel like they're actually contributing to the stuff that you guys believe so much in. And thanks to you guys.
Und damit vielen lieben Dank, dass ihr bei der 102. Episode mit dabei wart. Ihr könnt alle Episoden wie gewohnt kostenlos auf Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Deezer, Amazon Music, Audible, Google Podcasts, Podtail, Podigy und auch bei allen anderen Streamingdiensten hören. Und wir würden uns sehr freuen, wenn ihr dem Oshum Podcast und unserem News Podcast O-News dort folgt, wo ihr Podcasts am liebsten hört. Schaut auch auf Facebook und Instagram.com/Oshum Podcast vorbei und interagiert mit uns und der Community. Checkt auf jeden Fall auch die Sneaker-Suchmaschine Sneakerjägers und werdet Teil der Sneakerjägers Germany Community. Supporten könnt ihr uns unter anderem mit einer positiven 5-Sterne-Bewertung bei Spotify und Apple Podcasts. Über 500 positive Bewertungen hat Oshun auf den Plattformen schon und eine Apple Podcast Review würden wir hier gerne mit euch teilen. MBBHHBB schrieb vor ein paar Wochen: einer der besten und ehrlichsten Podcasts zum Thema Streetwear und Sneaker. Besonderer Pluspunkt: die Jungs haben ein großes Herz für New Balance. Hat man an dieser Stelle auch schon wieder gehört. Das macht euch sympathischer als jeden anderen Podcast. Aha, hört. Super, vielen Dank. Tut uns eingefallen und supportet die Podcasts und erzählt mindestens einem Freund oder einer Freundin, die sich für Sneaker und Streetwear interessiert, von uns. Show some love. Dankeschön. Wir hören uns in der nächsten Episode wieder. Bis dahin, macht's gut.
Tschüss.